about that for a press box this week, Jay and Josh? I mean, you have two great former professional athletes joining us. Some insight, some things I didn't know about Jeremy, some things I didn't know about Dennis. So, wow, I mean, we got some stuff that's if we start like this, can imagine where we're going to be going in a few weeks.
This is great, guys. Sorry, Josh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, yeah, great interviews, great personalities. I enjoy both of them very much, both interviews.
Yeah, so thanks for having me on today, guys. Really appreciate it. I do want to comment on both Jeremy. I want to thank Jeremy, and I want to thank Dennis for coming on. Their profiles and their platforms just help us immensely. So great conversation. I love the insight with Jeremy talking about Taylor Hall. I love the way he tooted his own horn. I mean, he was a superstar. I would say closest back in the day would be Wendell. I know Jeremy was probably a little bit more talented than Wendell, but I think Wendell had the Dukes that was sort of even them out. So, and ask, I don't know if you're going to ask Jeremy about that hit behind the net. I remember that.
I remember that hit. Oh, yeah. Well, how about Jeremy even like saying there's no player that reminds him of himself? Like, how about that? There's no player in today's NHL.
I don't know about that, but I mean, Jeremy did have the whole package. He had the whole package. He had the heart, the talent, the drive. Yeah. He could fight. You know, he was, I'm trying to think, today's guy. Let me think about that. But I know there's a couple of guys around, and I want to also thank Dennis for being on today. That story that he shared when he was 15 is that's what we're all about. Right. That's what we're all about. Overcoming obstacles, struggles in your life. Everybody has them. It's, you know, what you do when you're challenged with them. So thank you, Dennis, for sharing. Thanks, Dave, for, you know, great interviews, and Josh. So, yeah. So thanks for having me on today, guys. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. And I know I wouldn't forget that series with the Flyers and the Leafs, as you were talking about the hit behind the net with JR. And yeah, I mean, I at that point, I even thought that the Leafs would be able to win that series and Belfour would stand on his head. But, well, yeah, that was a disappointment.
Was that the same series where Domi did the elbow?
That was against New Jersey, wasn't it? The Scott Niedermayer.
Oh, that was against Jersey. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
That was the year before, I think.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's a year we should have won.
Yeah.
That's a year we should have won.
Well, how about the year when we even went to, I say we, I'm not even a Leaf fan, even though I'm wearing a Leaf shirt.
I know, I saw that. Side. I like that. I like that.
I got to do laundry. I mean, the series, if you remember when they won two series, they beat Ottawa, which they always beat Ottawa. Yeah. And then I forgot who they beat the second round, but they played Carolina in the third round because I was working for Leafs Television at that point. And I had a free, basically a free entrance to every Leaf home playoff game. Working for Leafs Television, and it was pretty awesome and being there. And I actually got into kind of being a Leaf fan, and I was cheering for them. And, you know, that series.
Was it Buffalo that we beat the second round?
No, it's going to drive me nuts now. I can't even think of the second.
All I remember is they should have probably kept Sundin on the sideline when they went down to Carolina because – it changed the chemistry of the team. They thought, oh, Sundin's back. Okay, everybody can just take it. And he wasn't back. Like, he wasn't Matt's, right? And it ruined the chemistry of the flow, I just thought. And Carolina always plays us tough.
That's true.
They always play the Leafs tough.
Speaking of Sundin, I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
What do you think about Sundin finishing his career in Vancouver and not finishing it up as a Leaf? I know he wanted to finish in Toronto. He tried to re-sign. I think it was Cliff Fletcher that said, okay, no, we're done with you, pretty much, right? He wanted to finish a Leaf, and I think it was kind of an eyesore. And to be honest with you, I think to this day, it leaves a sour taste in Sundin's mouth. That's why you don't see him too often in public anymore.
Well, see, now I have a totally different perspective than you, Josh. I'm under the impression that he wanted to leave. Because from what I recall, and again, who knows? Because I'm not totally on the inside with the Leafs, but I mean, from what I hear, I heard that the Leafs wanted to trade him to Detroit because Detroit was still a powerhouse and they wanted to repeat. I think they were repeating, or, you know, when it was in that era when they won all the cups. And we could have got some high prospects, and they wanted him. We wanted him to go there, but he said, I want to stay a Leaf. And then all of a sudden, you went to Vancouver. Yeah. I mean, what are you doing? Like, why? And then he didn't even finish in Vancouver. He retired in December. Yeah. So I think I like Sundin, but I thought, as a Leaf fan, I have a sour taste in my mouth how he left, because if he would have went to Detroit, he could have gotten some great prospects. I believe we were a playoff team then, or we were coming on, and I don't know. And then he went to Vancouver and retired. Like, what are you doing? I don't understand that logic myself. I could be wrong, but I'm just from a fan.
I think he was kind of from what I was told that he was kind of I don't want to use the term butthurt, but I guess I will that. They wanted to part with him, and he wanted to stay in Toronto. Obviously, Toronto was going to get prospects, and I think they were going to get a first rounder in that deal.
Yeah.
But he refused the deal. He wouldn't waive his no trade, and he was unrestricted at the end of the year. But he said he wanted to remain with Toronto. He didn't want to be traded. He had a new wife. I'm pretty sure he just got engaged. To a girl here in Toronto, and he didn't want to leave. And I think he signed with Vancouver because Toronto didn't want to resign him.
I don't know why he wouldn't want to go to Detroit and win a cup. He never won a cup. He's been in the league 13, 14 years at the time. Detroit's on his way to the cup. Go to Detroit. Well, but, you know, that's enough about, let's move on. Let's talk about today's day. Yeah. Let's get Dave in there. So Dave, as an American, what's your hockey question?
Well, let's take a look at the standings right now. You can kind of see it. The Leafs look pretty good. And I think they quietly, you know, here stateside, I don't think we've kind of paid attention to them just because all eyes here, I was always talking about Vegas. So I think there's going to be a lot of excitement in Canada for the first time in a while, I think. And, you know, I don't know if I'm wrong being here on this side, but you guys could be proud of what's going on up there.
Well, as a Leaf follower, and I'm like so involved with it, you know, not with the team, but, you know, as a sports guy and media, I think picking up Nick Foligno has changed the chemistry of our team. He's still in his prime. He's a captain. He's got grit galore. And I think he's going to raise the other guys on the team who have grit, like Wayne Simmonds. Even though Joe Thornton's in his 40s, the guy's a remarkable player. When Hyman gets back, I hope Zach Bogosian is fine, but I think Sandin has stepped in. The only thing I'm worried about, Dave, is we haven't played any USA teams. I mean, nobody has, right? So it's like, I don't know really how good we are. Like, I know we're good, but are we Boston and Tampa and Washington good? I don't know. We'll see, but I think, I mean, our Achilles heel will be our goaltending but they say Freddie's on the ice. So I think with Freddie, if Freddie comes back, plays the last couple games and takes the pressure off, Jack's got a lot of pressure. I mean, let's be serious. So Jack's, you know, all of a sudden he's the number one goalie by, you know, no choice. He's it. So I think we're good. I think our four lines are strong. I think we have lots of backup, lots of ammo in case guys go down. I just think we have to stay healthy for the next 9 games and see where we're at. What do you think, Josh?
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to talk a little bit about Nick Foligno. Now, I know a lot about Nick Foligno.
That's right.
I'm a Blue Jackets fan. He was the heart and soul of our team, the captain. This is a guy that Jake can play on the first line. This is a guy that can play on the fourth line. He can score, he can be a playmaker, he can hit, he can fight, he can do it all. And this is exactly what Toronto needed. And you know what? When I saw that deal happen, as sad as I was seeing that he was leaving Columbus, I'm like, you know what? this is what Toronto needs to go far in the playoffs.
Well, let's follow up on that, Josh, because I know you are a Columbus. You have Columbus strong ties, and you're a Columbus fan, and obviously you watch Nick for the how long? Nick's been there, what, for 10 years, I guess? I mean, he's been there for, you know.
He was traded from Ottawa, 10, 12 years ago. He's been there for a while now.
So tell Leaf fans what to expect. Like, what great tangibles are we going to get from Nick on a daily basis?
Well, like I said, he can play on the first. He can play on the fourth line. The guy is a heart and soul of a team. He's not the captain of the Leafs, but you know what? He's going to be a voice in that locker room because he's a team leader. You know, he focuses on what the team does, not what he does. He just goes out and he plays his role. And that's why John Tortorella and Columbus loved this guy. He was sad to see him go because he adapted to Tort's system. He blocked shots. He hit. He fought. He scored. He, you know, dished the puck out. The guy was incredible for Columbus. And
what do you think? What do you think the Leafs are going, like the Leaf fans are going to see on the ice? Feeding through the other players. Like, what do you think he's going to do to the other players? How do you think we're going to see a difference? I think we already do, but like, how do you think his passion is going to bleed through the team?
Well, you know what? He's not afraid to voice stuff with players. He's very open with guys. All the players loved him in Columbus. I guarantee you everyone in Toronto is going to love him. They're going to love hearing from him and what he has to bring to this team. And it's going to, you know what? I think it's going to help that locker room. There's a lot of leaders in that locker room. Let's be honest. Joe Thornton, Jason Spezza, you know, guys that have been around the league for a long time who are well respected, right? And then you got John Tavares. Let's not forget about John. But I honestly believe Foligno might be the actual glue that keeps things together. Goaltending is a question. You mentioned that before, whether or not Freddie Anderson's going to be fine with this knee injury he's been suffering, how he's going to play when he comes back, if Campbell's going to be able to kind of hold the reins down if he's not 100%. Goaltending, I think, is the number one question going into the playoffs. But you know what? I guarantee that team is looking pretty good right now up front. And, you know,
I think
this team this year for the first time in a while.
I think we're going to be able to cycle, which is going to be huge come playoff time. Cause you know, you got to have grit. You got to be able to go down low. You got to be able to go into the corners. And I think we're going to have that. I'm going to put you on the spot here and then I want to get Dave in there. And then I think you guys can kick me off. I'm going to put you on the spot now since you're a Columbus boy. Right? Let's get Nick on the show before the playoffs.
I was actually going to ask him today, but then I'm like, I got to go through PR and that's going to be a hassle.
Maybe we could do it. Like,
you would totally do it for me. Maybe.
Would he? Well, if you can start that process, we'll have a special Leaf show. If you can make that happen, we'll get Dave back on. Dave, I want to ask you, who's your team in the U.S. now? Who do you think is going to go to the cup on your side?
You know, I've kind of become this fan since we don't really have anything here in Hartford. We don't have the Whalers anymore. I've kind of become a Las Vegas fan just because what a great story it was and what they almost did in that very first year of existence. But I just don't know what kind of Las Vegas team we're going to see in these playoffs and if they even have enough to get out of that first round. You know, and you got Tampa and all those kind of things. But I wanted to throw a quick curveball to you two, since Jeremy touched on it briefly, is Ovechkin got any shot to set the record for goals, or is he going to just drag on like a Gordie Howe kind of guy and get 16 or 17 goals? And like, do you think that he has any shot to pass the great one?
I'd say no.
No. He's what, 200 goals? Do we have –
He's like 200 away, kind of. Yeah, he's like 200 away.
It's pretty close. But like as JR said, I'm just pulling it up here. As JR said, because of the shortened seasons, I think it's really hurt his numbers. I think he's going to come close. I think he'll end up be possibly fourth in the league. I know Yager, let's see. So I have the leaders here. So Ovechkin right now, he sits at 730 goals. Fifth spot, or Ovechkin's in the sixth spot, but in the fifth spot is Marcel Dion, 731. So he's one goal away. That's going to move him up to fifth spot. Brett Hall is only 11 goals away. So that's definitely possible. This year, I don't know if he could score 11 goals in the last three, four weeks of the season. Yeah. I don't know if that's possible. Yager's at 766. So and Yager's third in NHL scoring all time, 766. So he's 36 goals away from the third spot right now. That is definitely possible. Gordie Howe, 801. He's 71 goals away from Gordie Howe. Is it possible?
That's a lot of goals. That's a lot of goals.
But Gretzky is 894, which means he has to score another 164 goals. He's 36 years old, Ovechkin. Is he going to play for another 5 years? Is he going to be able to put up in a full season 30, 40 goals a year like he's been accustomed to? He's getting to that age, guys. I think it's possible he could finish in third, possibly number two ahead of Gordie Howe, but Gretzky, that's going to be a tough one.
That will be tough. That will be tough. This is great, guys. I really want to thank everybody, you know, for having me on today. You know what? I just thought about this as we were talking. Dave and Josh, I know both of you guys, all three of us, are huge NFLers. So I know the draft is tomorrow. If you guys have any great insight, let me know, and maybe we can do a special NFL draft show next week and do some follow-ups if you guys are into that.
It'd be interesting to see if there's some trades or below stays, or you know what's going to be happening up until tomorrow.
And if the Dolphins trade their pick again.
Yeah, maybe we can. I hope not.
How many times have they traded their pick in the last 2 weeks?
Well, they got lots of picks. Don't they have like 8 picks or something? And they were talking to Arizona or something like that. I'm not updated in the last couple of days, so I don't know exactly where they're at. But I think we should do maybe do an NFL show, get Chris Berman on, or get somebody on, Dave, who you think might want to come on and talk NFL.
We'll see what we can do.
Yeah, let me know if you guys can do that. But again, I want to thank you guys for having me on today, and I will mute myself while you guys end the show.
All right. Thanks.
Hey, Dave, any way you can play us out on Brass Bonanza, since you're a former Hartford Whaler fan?
If I had Berman, I think that's his cell phone. But what a great show, Josh. I want to thank you for hooking us up with Jeremy. It doesn't get much better for hockey fans to be able to talk to one of the third. There are only three Americans that have scored over 500 goals, and it's pretty awesome to just have him come and be a part of your show, the Disability Channel, and again, the great things that he's doing in his life. So, Josh, any last words for folks out there still watching?
Well, you know, JR was amazing. I just want to say that, you know, he's a good dude and appreciate him coming on. And, you know, one thing I guess I could have brought up with JR is the other high-scoring American right now that everyone's been talking about, and that's Patrick Kane and his former stomping grounds, right? Because Patrick Kane, you know, he's a stud too, right? Like, this is a guy that is definitely going to be in the Hall of Fame. And speaking of Hall of Fame, JR needs to be in the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely. So continue to push for that. And where can people follow you, Josh, off of the show?
Well, I'm on Twitter at Josh Rimmer PR, 1M, that is. I'm on Instagram at Josh Chasing Greatness. I'm on there talking about fitness and health and keto. I'm down 130 pounds in 6 years. So I'm on there promoting that. And am I on anywhere else? No, that's it. That's about it.
All right, my friend. Well, it's good to see you. And again, for those of us that are out there with disabilities, that's what the Disability Channel is for. It's shows by us, for us, content programming, great stories, great people behind the scenes with Jay and all the folks up in Toronto. And of course, the job opportunities that are coming, that we have all kinds of potential for us to come over and take the world. So for Josh, I'm Dave Stevens. I want to thank you guys again for joining us and to continue to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and all those platforms. And also go to our website, thedisabilitychannel.ca. So until next time, we'll see you on the Disability Channel Press Box.